Technorama episode 638, Space It Up. Hey, welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you and welcome. It is a pleasure to meet you. Put your hand out. Well, elbow bump.
Even on the video?
Yes.
Okay. You are paranoid.
We're not wearing masks on the show, at least. If you're returning, well, you've probably already been infected with Technorama, so you're good. You're good. If not,
let those antibodies work.
Yes. I'm Chuck Tomasi. Is it still too late to make COVID jokes, or too soon to make COVID jokes?
We've been dealing with it for a year. I think it's safe now.
Technorama's been out for 16 years and we still haven't found a vaccine for it.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
That's right.
But you know what? The number of people that are affected are so small that nobody cares. It's not very contagious, unfortunately.
It's like the opposite of a pandemic.
it's an undemic.
Undemic.
How you doing, Craig?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Surprised it took us that long to figure that joke out.
I know. It's been formulating for 16 years.
At least the last 14 months.
Yeah.
All right. What is this note in here? Shot for Sam and more.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you. I know you've had your shots. I've had one. I've got a second one coming. But I happen to notice that Samuel Adams put out a thing. There was a thing about the free things that you can get as an incentive for getting the vaccine. You can go to Krispy Kreme, get a free donut. I forget what the other one, but anyway, this one, I was like, okay, I'm gonna give it a shot. Sure enough, shot for Sam. If you take a picture, not of your card, I wasn't gonna post a picture of my card.
Well, a lot of people are like, J.C. Hutchins put his thumb over the critical parts.
Yeah. Well, all they wanted you to do was take a picture of the sticker or whatever they give you. So
I took a
picture of the sticker. I put it on Twitter. I put a hashtag shot for Sam and Samuel Adams will give you $7 for a beer. So I went,
Buy like a lot of beers for $7.
Well, yeah. So anyway, I said, sure, why not? I'll give it a shot. Sure enough, I got them. They replied. I DM'd them. I had to use the Cash app. You can install it on your phone and they give you a little cash hashtag for yourself. I sent Samuel Adams the hashtag when they asked for it and I got $7. So I got $7 in the Cash app.
Just make sure you wait at least 24 hours because you're supposed to be nice and hydrated and you don't want to be drinking beer right after your shots.
Whatever.
Trust me. Hydration. Get really hydrated on your second shot. That's how Donna got away completely scot-free. She had no symptoms on her second shot, and a lot of people do.
Oh, being hydrated before you get your shot?
And during and after for 24 hours and after that shot.
Yeah, I drink a lot of water anyway. But yeah, okay. That's good advice. I didn't know that. Actually, they told me not to drink alcohol because they thought that you would not know if you were having symptoms or not.
Right.
I was like, if I'm having symptoms, what does it matter? I'm going to have them and they'll go away. So why does it matter?
Confuses those poor little antibodies.
Yeah.
What are we fighting again? I don't know.
They'll be like bump, bump, bump. So,
hey, man. Hey, Corona. I love you, man. No, you're doing it wrong.
Hey. Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny they would say that. Okay. I understand if you want to be aware if you had symptoms, but you're going to get them anyway. So
not necessarily.
Well, then why does it matter?
Because don't. Just listen to the scientists, Craig. Listen to the scientists. Don't go making up your own crazy theories. That's how we got into this.
I'm not making up any crazy theories. I'm just saying, hey.
Next thing you know, he's going to be telling you to drink bleach.
No, only on Easter.
Let's do our feedback then. Drink bleach on Easter?
I don't know why that came out.
I'm a little slow on the uptake on that one.
So am I. Reach right
ahead and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
drink bleach.
By the way, that wasn't an envelope that ripped. That was my pants. Sorry.
You shipped your pants? You ripped your pants.
I was kidding. I said instead of the wasn't an envelope, it was my pants that ripped.
There was an old Little Rascals show, you know, the original Little Rascals, where what was it? Alfalfa was in love with his teacher or something. Oh, right. Miss Crabtree, you're so lovely. And he's writing this poem. My heart is filled with love. I love to skip and dance. And Spanky's over in the corner mocking him. He goes, my heart is filled with joy. I love to rip my pants. The things you remember from when you were a kid,
I used to love the Little Rascals. Yes, right, the original.
Our question of the week from last week was, what is a life hack that seems fake, but is a true lifesaver? So let us go to the Technorama page and see what we got over there. Thank you for everybody who responded. We got sweet Steve London, who said, don't know if this is a life hack, but I lived in a one room apartment, shared a toilet and showers, and no kitchen. So cooking food was an issue.
Yep. I've been there.
Did you know that you can make toast on an iron and fix your noodles directly in the water heater? And at the same time, you boil an egg or two. Then I got myself a microwave.
Yeah.
But I had to wrap it in tinfoil. Sorry, that was a typo, not me.
Oh, it interfered with the, oh my gosh.
It interfered with the TV set that was standing on it. But what do you do when you're living with in 3x3 meters? No, I was not in prison.
What's funny is he goes, wow, that was the shortest 3 minutes, you know, whenever he sets the microwave. But actually, he goes, oh, and it's not aware of the
he blanked
time
out. He lost track of time.
Hey, you know what, Steve? I used to live in a house, I rented a room in a house like that, and we had a shared kitchen, a shared bathroom, and stuff like that. And I've had to get creative with cooking as well. So I know how that feels. And no, it wasn't a prison or a halfway house.
Have you opened up your page?
Yes, I have. So. Gary Lindros, our big buddy over there in Florida, says waking up at the same time every day is good for you. And I agree with that.
That's true.
Jack Manning says, you're crazy, Lindros. and again, Steve chimes in. He says, this is not a life hack. This is a superpower. He hasn't used an alarm in years, unless it was to get up extra early, like before 4:30.
Yep.
So I usually don't worry about getting up early on Sunday, but by that, I usually get up about 5 every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday, it may be 5:30, just saying.
Ooh.
Sleep in. But I like to get up and have coffee and spend a couple hours without people asking me to do things.
And since you're on the East Coast, that is your best time.
Yeah. Just hang out and chill out for a little bit. Have coffee, watch the sun come up and get to work.
John Miller Jr. says, thanks to Alton Brown for this one. You can reduce the bitterness of a cup or brew of coffee with a pinch of salt. Even cheap coffee can be improved with this hack. I use this hack every time I brew coffee.
I have done that.
I usually use cream and sugar.
No, it's to take the edge off the like black coffee.
That's what the cream and sugar's for.
Nah.
Nah.
Real men drink it black.
No. It's 2021. Anything goes.
Anything goes? Okay.
I got nothing on my page. Nobody replied to mine since yesterday. Nobody likes me.
Yeah. We all love you, Chuck.
But thank you, everybody. We also have a voicemail from Steve in Sweden. He sent us an audio file.
All right.
Hello, Technorama. In episode 636... the question of the week was something like, even as an adult, what are you truly never too old for? And my answer was that I will never be too old for my hobbies. And I also said that a cheap hobby is not a real hobby. To this, Chuck, you had some objections. And I can sort of agree that, well, there are cheap hobbies that can be called a real hobby as well. But to my defense, I actually have to stand by that quote that a cheap hobby is not a real hobby. Otherwise, I can't defend to myself or to my spouse that I yearly put down around $1,500 to $2,000 into my hobby yearly. And, well, we're in April now, and I've spent already way past $1,000 this year.
He's so over budget.
I'm going to beat that record. So, in my opinion, a real hobby is an expensive hobby.
Then I'm right on track with this podcasting thing.
I know, right? Yeah.
It's out of control.
Well, if time was money, I've spent way more time in podcasting than I probably should have.
I'll give you that. If you're not really invested in the hobby, then you're probably not putting enough money into it. I mean, then you're not your heart probably isn't into it. I would argue
time. Time, not just money.
Time because and money.
You can make an investment and get whatever materials you need for your hobby or whatever. But if you spend a lot of time doing whatever it is and getting good at it, I think that's an investment also.
I've kind of lost or blurred the line between hobby and work at this point.
It's just life, right?
It kind of is. I'll talk more about it on the Patreon show, but I had a couple of ideas that just kind of ran out of control and consumed my whole day today. And I kept thinking to myself, if Donna walks in right now, she's going to ask, are you working on work or personal work? And
Define that, ma'am.
it was a big mess. I couldn't straighten that. I couldn't untangle that ball of yarn, if you ask me. Like, well,
no, I'm with you too. I mean, I do a lot of programming and a lot of it's for work. I do a lot for myself. So what's the difference, really? I mean, except for one makes me money, one's not.
Well, when I think about this whole karaoke thing that I started in the last year, is that work or is it fun? I mean, is it personal? Because I like doing karaoke and we do this on Saturday nights. But yet when I'm writing the code, it's ServiceNow and I get outcomes of that benefit my job because I've got content to share with the customers. Mm-hmm. It really is a big blurry
Well,
mask.
That goes into the point I made earlier about context and use cases for what you like. That was a use case that kind of fit into the same thing. And you doing that, you're getting experience, you know, because you go, oh, I need to make this happen. And then when other situations come up for work, you go, oh, I can make that happen because I did it over here.
Well, so, yeah, we're having a whole karaoke telethon marathon party on the 20th because of this. So it's hey, I've got something I can offer you for fun at this conference.
Like, wait, at your house?
4 hours. I'm going to be doing karaoke for 4 hours for work by requests only.
People are going to be making requests for our
conference. Yeah. It's the last day of CreatorCon and I'm going to try and raise money.
I see. I understand. I gotcha.
It's a charity thing because
you need to wear a tux. You need to wear your tux.
Oh my God. That would be hot. You know how warm this studio gets?
Hey, wait. You don't have to wear pants, just the top part.
Yes, I do. The karaoke is a wider angle than this. I'll probably be wearing shorts.
You know what? You should have all your ServiceNow shirts.
Just keep changing them. So,
yeah, you just walk off the camera and then come back
with the shirt. Here's the coral shirt. Here's the lavender shirt. Here's the green shirt. Here's the dark green shirt. All right, we're done with
the shirt from 2014.
Thank you, everybody, for your feedback. We're going to move on with the show.
I see. You're cutting me off.
It's not a fashion show.
I think you're playing me out. Is what?
I'm a doctor, not a fashion designer.
Right.
Oh, wait, that's for the other show. Let's get into the history then, because we've got that ready to go. On this day in history for April 28th, 2021, it is the 118th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 247 days remaining in 2021. It was on this date in 1789 that Lieutenant William Bligh and 18 sailors are set adrift, and the rebel crew return to Tahiti briefly and then set sails for Pitcairn Island. That was part of the Mutiny on the Bounty. Have you ever watched that movie?
No, I have not.
That's a good movie. Great story.
Also on April 28th, 1923, Wembley Stadium was opened, named initially as the Empire Stadium.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. I feel like Beavis and Butthead there.
Yes. Yes. Stormtroopers rule.
I scored.
When's Live Aid going to be over with? Okay. April 28th, 1947. We were just talking about this last week. This was my pass the remote thing. Tor Heyerdahl and five crewmates set out from Peru on the Contiki to demonstrate that Peruvian natives could have settled Polynesia.
Wow. I was sitting there thinking for a second. I think you did talk about that.
I did talk about that.
Yeah. Also on today in 1973, The Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd, recorded in Abbey Road Studios, went to number one on the U.S. Billboard chart.
For a while. Beginning.
Yeah. What's that?
For a while.
For a while. Yeah. Beginning a record-breaking 741-week chart run. And I think 741 is actually the number of versions I bought on the different media. So CD, 8-track, on down the line.
That's a lot of weeks. I remember when we worked at the roller rink going, it's been on the charts for 11 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like in the top 200 albums somewhere. Usually it was like, it's 128 this week. But man, that's a long time to be selling records.
It's a great album. Great album.
Can't beat it. April 28th, 1986, the United States Navy aircraft carrier USS Enterprise... It became the first nuclear-powered vessel to transit the Suez Canal, navigating from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea to relieve the USS Coral Sea.
Well, that's a lot of USSs in there.
And seas.
And seas, yeah. Now, on April 28th, 1986, high levels of radiation resulted from the Chernobyl disaster were detected at a nuclear plant in Sweden. Watch out, Steve! Leading Soviet authorities to publicly announce the accident.
That's my Geiger counter going nuts.
Right.
You're all going to die. Happy birthday goes out of the state to French mathematician and academic Sylvester Francois Lacroix, born on this date in 1765.
All right. And Polish British engineer, mathematician, and physicist Hertha Marx Ayrton was born 67 years ago today.
Born April 28th, 1863, Russian engineer Nikolai von Meck.
And American actor and director Lionel Barrymore was born on this date in 1878.
The first in a long line of Barrymores, which continues to this day. You didn't know about the Barrymore? You know Drew Barrymore, right?
I know. That's
like her great-grandfather, right? Or something. Yeah, there's like
five
generations. Now she's got kids. I don't know if any of them. Jan Oort, the Dutch astronomer and academic, for which the Oort cloud was named after. I don't know. Would you rather have a belt or a cloud named after you?
Cloud.
He was born 121 years ago today.
And Czech-German businessman Oskar Schindler was born 113 years ago today.
Ah, Schindler's List. Good movie, good movie.
It was.
Eugene Merle Shoemaker. Yes. Eugene Shoemaker. That Eugene Shoemaker. The American geologist and astronomer was born 93 years ago today. Changed the way we look at craters on the Earth.
I think that's interesting. Geologists, like rocks on the ground all the way to rocks in the
sky. The study of craters.
And craters, that's right. Swedish-American actress, singer, and dancer Anne Margaret was born on this date in 1941.
April 28th, 1948, English journalist, author, and screenwriter Terry Pratchett.
And also turning 71 today is American comedian, talk show host, producer Jay Leno.
What a chin. What a chin. Yeah. Also born on that same day, 1952, American actress. What was she? The mayor of the Battlestar Galactica or something? Mary McDonnell.
Yeah.
Oh, she was also on Independence Day, if I remember right, too. She's on several things. Listener birthdays this week include Shepard Tom from Outside the Known Universe on the 29th. Also on the 29th, Tim Carr and loyal listener Dhruv Gupta. Thank you for putting your name in there. I think you just did that in January. So, see, you put your name in the calendar. We'll get to it eventually. Also on the 30th is Julio Diaz, a.k.a. Julio Tijuana.
That's right.
K.L. Wright on the 3rd of May. Look at this. We're already into the May birthdays. Yikes. And loyal listener, Leon, and Patreon member too. Leon, happy birthday to all of you. If it's your birthday this week and we didn't call out your name, we wish you all the best. Yes, there's the ending music. So let's wrap this up. You want to get on the birthday calendar, you go over to chuckchat.com/whatever it says when I push this birthday button, and we'll give you a shout out. That's the way it was on this day in history for April 28th, 2021. Wasn't very helpful for the people listening on the audio podcast. I just realized. Chuckchat.com/birthday. There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Put it on the screen. But
it's all you need to know.
You don't tell people on the audio podcast, I'm going to push a button and you do whatever it says there.
look at your screen now.
Join us on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern
time. Hey, actually, if you're listening to this on your phone or whatever, the show notes are there and you should have a link to it right in front of you. So there you go.
Well, that would be very nice, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If only there were some sort of app.
Technology.
That could download audio files while you sleep. Oh, wait.
I would argue we have the best show notes in the business. So go look at them.
Well, they're not timestamped, unfortunately. Some people do that, too.
Do we have to?
No, but that would improve it. So they could say, hey, I want to jump right to the history segment.
Right.
Skip that pre-show banter.
Hey, you know what? I'll have to think about that. I think I might have a way.
That's time consuming. I do that for my work productions and podcasting.
Chuck, I got an idea.
That's great. You keep that to yourself. Drew is out there listening. Happy birthday, buddy.
Right.
It's coming up. All right. He just chimed in on YouTube. So we're out there as well. It's time for the news. I think we need a Farnsworth.
Good news, nobodies.
Well, this is some good news, and we have a story about a soldier wearing a jetpack. And we've seen these jetpacks flying around. I think we did with one of these same technology with the hoverboard thing that they did the DeLorean. Similar. So this is from Futurism.com. In a new video released by jetpack maker Gravity Industries, a jet suit wearing special ops soldier from the Netherlands Maritime Special Operations Force can be seen boarding a ship by flying there from a nearby pursuit vessel. It's a spectacular demonstration of Gravity Industries flying technology. Rather than having to pursue and approach the ship in the tailing vessel, the jetpack-enhanced soldier simply takes to the skies and effortlessly lands on the deck of the ship in a fraction of the time boarding would have taken otherwise. So lots of interesting stuff here. He's like sitting almost what looks like on a bicycle frame or a motorcycle or some sort of bench.
Like a rack
on the back of this inflatable boat, and they're catching up to a larger vessel. He's got the jetpacks on his wrists. And this is what makes me think of the hoverboard video we did a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
He flies through the air, very sci-fi looking, but quite comfortable looking as it is, and lands on the deck, takes out the first, insurgent or whatever. Obviously, if there's a piracy situation somewhere, they can board quickly. Unless, of course, this is how the pirates get aboard your ship. If they get a hold of some of these, you're doomed.
They got our jetpacks.
Yeah. That you wouldn't even see them coming. Now, they also had some helicopters hovering around and landing additional soldiers once that first one has taken out the primary targets.
Yeah. Now, I thought it was the video was cool. Like you said, he was very effortlessly taking off. He went to the other ship, did his thing, and then at the end,
he came back.
He ended up, spoiler alert, he came back and landed right there at the rack. And the rack has two little arms so he can set the
nacelles turbine,
on it so it can rest his arm so it is not holding it the whole time. But he was able to get on the ship and then pull the weapon out and do his thing and then end up coming back. So yeah, it was
what if he
cool.
just aimed the little jet engines at the person? Burn your face.
Yeah,
you're drying my hair, it looks lovely. The heat takes all the body out,
right? I can see like Fabio sitting there in his hair blank.
No, it's too much frizz.
You're right.
Would you like the next story?
Yeah. So bacteria from Brazil, copper mine, a Brazilian copper mine. Got a pop up. They're working on half the title was under you, Chuck. Bacteria from Brazil copper mine work a striking transformation on an essential metal. So scientists have discovered a bacterium that can transform waste from copper mining into a more useful form of pure copper, providing potentially inexpensive and environmentally friendly way to synthesize the valuable metal and clean up pollutant environments.
Mm.
So the bacterium produced a single single atom or monoatomic copper, which is particularly useful for energy production and other applications. The microbe is the first reported to produce a single atom metal, but the researchers whose findings were published on April 23rd in Science Advances suspect many more await discovery.
Where's the one that can make gold?
And, yeah, out of goose eggs. They can actually remove something toxic and convert it into something good for us and clean environment at the same time, says Deborah Rodriguez, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of Houston and last author of the study. Copper is a vital component of electronics, solar cells, antimicrobial coatings. It is typically recovered from ores such as Gallifrey. Yeah, Gallifrey. Talifrite? I don't know. Talicopyrite? Copyright.
Looks like it's pronounced chalcopyrite.
Okay, there you go. Chalcopyrite. The ores are a mixture of copper with carbonate, sulfate, phosphate, and oxide mineral. Excuse me.
We got too much big words for you on this one.
I know. Whatever.
So we got bacteria that eat waste and poop copper is what it sounds like. That's pretty cool.
Sorry, my throat is getting all dry. Actually, what's funny is I was just watching a show, and I don't think this is, I think it was a little, had a little age on it, but the lady was working on bacteria that can eat plastic and basically clean the environment with that. So when I saw this article, I thought it was interesting that they were doing this with metals, because she said, I have a feeling that there's a lot more bacteria that would do other things. And here you go. So.
Makes you wonder what else we have to discover out there how long has this been around?
Yeah.
Well, has copper pollutant been out there long enough, or did this recently evolve? It makes you wonder, where did this stuff come from?
Yeah. Well, I imagine it can't be a huge stretch because copper has been on the planet for so long, well, forever. And so are the bacteria.
Right.
You just got to find the right.
What was it eating before we started mining and producing all this copper ore waste?
Hot dogs? I don't know. No. I don't know.
Yes, because Tyrannosaurus Rex was out there going, hot dogs, get your hot dogs here.
Yeah. Oh, there's some bacterium. Okay. This next story I did put in here because I shared my story. I shared my story about not being able to get on my first mortgage because I had an overdue video rental, but the rental place had been closed for about 10 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw this, I thought this was funny. Now go ahead. I got to take this. So an Oklahoma woman was charged with a felony for not returning a VHS tape 21 years ago. So
Charged 21 years ago, or was the tape due 21 years ago?
No, it was due 21 years ago.
Okay.
So a former Oklahoma resident is facing felony embezzlement charges, just kind of
embezzlement,
kind of a big one right there, for not returning a VHS tape rented in Norman, Oklahoma, more than two decades ago. Online documents show Karen McBride is a wanted woman for never returning Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, on VHS tape in 1999. So the first thing she told me was felony embezzlement. So I thought I was going to have a heart attack, McBride said. McBride said she first learned about the charges when trying to change her name on her license after getting married in Texas. She said, I went to change my driver's license during this COVID thing and had to make an appointment. So I sent them an email, and they sent me an email back, and they told me that I had an issue in Oklahoma, and this was the reference number to call this number, and I did. So anyway, McBride said the number was to the Cleveland County District Attorney's Office, where a woman told her about the charges filed against her. She told me it was over a VHS tape, and I had to, I'm sorry, I'm laughing because it's ridiculous. And I had to make her repeat it because I thought this was insane. Is this girl kidding me, right? She wasn't kidding. So, yeah. How do you like that? Felony embezzlement.
I can't believe that the picture is the actual tape that she rented. It's got a handwritten label. This is not something you pick up from a rental store.
No, I don't think that that is the original.
I think somebody did that as a prop for this article.
Well, it's on the Oklahoma Fox station. I think they just put that picture in there.
Oh,
it's
probably we can all trust the Fox station.
Wait a minute. I wonder if you search for that, Sabrina the Teenage Witch VHS in Google Images, and that's the first one that comes
probably
up.
Now that it's out there on a story.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch. See, VHS.
See, it's all funny till it happens to you.
All right, let's see. Here we go. Images. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, of course. There's one, two, three. There's a bunch of them with somebody wrote it on there. I don't. That's weird. So, yeah. See, the struggle is real, kids.
You
better return those movies now.
And books to the library, et cetera, et cetera. Or you won't be able to get your COVID shot or your driver's license changed or a home loan at some point in the future.
See, I told my wife, look at it this way. You're forever tied to Ace Ventura Pet Detective, because that's what I did in return.
You're a criminal.
I didn't pay for it, she didn't take
your last name, Craig.
Right.
I'm not going to be associated. When you get landed in prison and you show up on the 11 o'clock news, there's a term that no longer applies, right?
Right.
I can guarantee you one thing.
We will have that videotape here for the rest of our days.
You still have it.
I paid for it.
Oh,
paid for it. The store was closed. I paid for it. I'm keeping it. So, yes, I still have it.
You're going to get caught with the goods. They're going to say, no, sir, we never got your records. And look, you still have the evidence.
I know. There's a receipt for my payment for it in the box with the movie. So we're covered.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can Photoshop a receipt these days.
No, you know my wife. It's a receipt in there with the VHS tape.
I'm going to the next story.
Okay.
We're getting on with the Hacks and Strange Stories. So from, where did we get this? Imgur.com. The story says, when I was a little kid, I was obsessed with magic. I devoured books like Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. When was this guy a little kid?
Well,
last week?
Lord of the Rings was back in, what, the 40s, the 50s?
Okay.
So.
My biggest disappointment was realizing magic wasn't real, or at least I wasn't able to conjure it up. As I grew up, I stumbled on this quote by Arthur C. Clarke. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Quite true. And that's when it hit me. I can make my own magic. So, that is what my most recent project is all about. Building some sufficiently advanced technology that turns us all into wizards. Oh, also the entire project is open source and free of charge. Open source magic.
That's not how magicians work.
That's not how to get into Hogwarts.
A good wizard doesn't reveal his tricks.
You can just see Snape up there. Okay, everybody, open your editors. We're going to write some Arduino code.
Yeah. Let's program your Raspberry Pi.
All of the code, schematic, circuit board files, 3D files for 3D printing or CNCing are all available on his GitHub page, linked in the video, no questions asked. I'm going to try and keep this as brief as possible so we can get on with the good stuff. He built himself a wand. It's kind of gesture controlled, and as he flicks it, he's turning lights on and all kinds of fun stuff. So,
actually, he did a good job cutting out the wand. It looked like he CNC'd it, and then he has it's a little channel where the battery goes, and was it an Arduino? Was that what it was?
I didn't quite catch it in the animation of how that all happened, but there was some little circuit board in there. Yeah, it could have been a nano or a zero or something. The way the wand works is pretty simple and fundamental level. To start, you lift it up, charging your magical power. When you are powerful enough, the wand vibrates in your energy. With your energy. Oh, it's got a little like vibrate thing. It goes, ready to do.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, you wave it around, yeah. And depending on which way you swing it, it will control the correct thing in your house. On a more technical note, inside the wand, there is a sensor that can sense acceleration. You guessed it, an accelerometer. When you raise the wand up, the acceleration due to the gravity can be sensed in a particular direction from the bottom of the wand. The wand then triggers a vibrating motor inside to let you know it's ready to cast a spell. Suddenly, your friend turns into a giant hamster. Oops!
Yeah. Wow, it really works.
It's not Leviosa. It's Leviosa. Yeah.
Leviosi.
Stop.
Anyway, this is pretty cool, is it not?
It is. This is, that would be really fun to have to your friends instead of saying, you know, Madam A, turn on the living room. You just go, Alohomora. Yeah. Oh, wait, that's the unlock one. What is it? Luminos.
That's right.
I can't remember my spells. Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off.
And, you know, it's a nice looking wooden wand that he put together. So I invite you to go over to the show notes on episode 638 over at chuckchat.com/technorama. And you can find the videos. You can get links to the GitHub. Show notes are there. Have fun with that. Next story.
Oh, is that my turn?
Yes.
So Disney's Imagineering Project Kiwi is a free walking robot that will make you believe in Groot.
This is a cool robot. I want one of those. Bowen says it's Lumos.
Lumos.
Luminosity. E-Harmony.
Right. So the black curtains pulled aside on a character straight from the movies waves hello. This is not an uncommon occurrence when I'm around Imagineers, but this time it's special. The character isn't a costume. It's a robot. And unlike any animatronic figures you've seen in parks, it is not stuck in one place. No, this character is walking toward me, attached only by a thin cable used for programming. The gait is smooth, the arms swinging in a lifelike manner, and the feet plant realistically. The body always sways exactly as you expect it, and there's no other way to say it. It's ambling.
It's cute. It's awesome.
Yeah. So the project, this is Project Kiwi, a small-scale free-roaming robot actor, the first of its kind for Disney, and a real robotics milestone. So the holy grail of themed entertainment has been established for decades now, fully mobile biped characters that match the appearance, personality, and scale of the original. Various non-mobile levels of the vision have been achieved at the parks around the world, including the incredibly lifelike Onavi Shaman, and the A-1000 figure that powers characters like Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, Hondo Akona.
Onaka.
And the smooth, impressive Belle from Beauty and the Beast at the Tokyo Disneyland. There have been some cool mobile experiments like the self-piloting droid Jake. So this pint-sized character has accurately rendered textures on his face, hands, and feet. It's dressed in a dressed red flight suit, like you might remember in the films, kind of like what the Raveners were wearing. And I lost my place. Where I was at? Oh, here we are. And its eyes are impressive as it looks at me and waves. This is the moment, the one that Disney Imagineers and the park goers alike have been waiting on for decades to realize. This is a real walk-around character that is a proper scale, kid scale.
It is. This is a wonderful rendition. They start out the video showing like just the legs, doing some basic walking, and it falls down a couple of times. Then they put a body on it. It still looks very much like a robot. Almost, it's not even as lifelike as Osimo. But they start to build it up, and then they put the outfit on it. And that's when it really comes to life, because you can kind of see this square robotic body mounted on two legs.
Torso.
It has no arms. Yeah, just it doesn't even have any arms
or legs.
And you can see it's got this little dance to the gate as it's walking. And you got to get a hint of what's coming. But when they put the flight suit on in the video and it starts walking down the hall doing this little Groot dance. And at the end, he's kind of doing this punching sequence with these punching mitts on. It's really funny.
Groot kind of has that kind of.
He's got a personality.
He's got that little amble to him. So this is perfect for something like this. Even if it's not 100% perfect, it does kind of fit the character. But then it starts standing on one foot and doing some other cool stuff.
He's doing like the Karate Kid crane pose. What? That's nuts.
That's right.
I'm wondering if they, how they programmed the motion in there. If it was like motion capture. Because I can't imagine trying to articulate all of the nuances of balance and, his arms are out, so you got a little more leeway to go on the balance. Mm-hmm. How that works, I'd be really curious. How much is machine learning AI kind of thing that's done in the programming itself to maintain the balance with gyros? Or how much is captured from motion control? You know, is there an actor that's doing the crane pose or the dance or the punching? And it looked
like they were teaching it to walk on its own for obviously when it was falling down and all that stuff. Maybe they just had to have a motion actor do the dance. And of course it can re-articulate that because it has the same knee and ankles and hip movements. So maybe.
Interesting stuff. Check it out. I'm sure you'll like that video over in the show notes. All right, let's give a quick shout out to the chat room. We've got a couple of people watching on YouTube. I know Dhruv is out there. Congratulations and thank you for everybody who's watching there. Over on Facebook, we've got John Miller Jr., Amy Bowen, Melissa's out there, although I don't see her, but Amy said, hi, Melissa, so I'm going to trust that she is.
She is there.
Who else do we have? That's all I can see. Do you see anybody I missed?
No. The regulars. There you go.
All right, the regulars. Thank you very much, everybody who joins us on Sunday nights at 9:30 on Facebook and YouTube. Don't forget, subscribe and join the page and all that good stuff. You know how it goes. That means it's time to jump right into the thanking of the patrons, which are many of the same people that are watching on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
They love us so much, and we love you right back. These are the people that donate as little as a dollar a show. We get their name read out on the show, and we get to we give them a special episode of just Craig and I chatting behind the scenes. It's like our backstage pass where we take on a topic and share it with you.
You can see us do the Groot dance.
Well, it's audio only, so you'll just have to imagine Craig doing his Groot.
You can
Groot
hear dance. Us doing it.
Yeah. Our knees go, our creaking knees. Yeah. That's a wonderful sound. You don't want to listen to 25 minutes of that. Yeah. Right, Alexis Duran, Elmer Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, thank you very much. Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dan D. Mann. These are geniuses in their own right. Danny Mortensen, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, sipping on his new Caprica coffee bar, coffee shop, and coffee express. Is that what it is? I hope I got that even close.
Right.
He's got his coffee mug from Comedy Forecast over there. I kind of want one of those cups now, even though I don't drink it. But I'm waiting for the coffee cauldron. Harold McKinstry. We just somehow slipped in a promo for someone else's podcast. That was amazing. Yeah. Harold McKinstry, John Clifford, John Noble, Jorga Schrauen, Christina, Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, really appreciate it. Mike Wills, Chris Martinez, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshey, Steve Therian. We're on the backside now because we got the Steves coming. Steve Therian, Steve Cody, and Steve London, who called in earlier. Thank you very much, everybody. We really appreciate it. Your funds help offset the cost of doing this podcast. Software, hardware, bandwidth, hosting costs, maintenance, replacement headphones we had to do recently. It's like there's always something that comes up. And just to keep the show up and running, you guys come through for us show after show, week after week, month after month, year after year. And with your help, we keep our wives happy. And you know what they say, happy wife, happy life. And we'll extend that into happy podcasting.
Yeah, that's right. Happy podcasters.
I don't think I stretched the truth at all on that, do I?
No.
If you want to be part of this fun, let me put the right title up there because the birthday calendar's been up there for the last 20 minutes. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast is where you can go and get that. Patreon.com/TechnoRama Podcast. As little as a dollar an episode, we'll get you taken care of because you've got us taken care of as well. Okay. Wow, that's almost a slogan. I should be in marketing.
Maybe, well, yeah. Oh,
well, I kind
of. Tomorrow, you will be. For the next 5 days.
You take care of us, we'll take care of you. Bang! What'd you shoot him for? You told me to take care of him.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to one of our favorite segments. Pass me the remote. Craig's got control of it, so I'm going to pass my phone on over to him.
Thanks. Oh, wait. That didn't work.
As he destroys his office. It went out the frame black and came in silver or something. Do you see the green. New purple iPhones?
Yeah. Well, you gonna change?
No, I just think they're kind of cool. That's a neat color.
It's a neat color.
Donna and I were having the discussion about round case or square case on the iPhones, because it kind of went back to that iPhone 4, iPhone 5, mm-hmm. you know, squared off case style. She said, I like the round ones. I said, I like the square ones. In fact, my now aging Galaxy Note 8 has round corners on the actual enclosure, and I put a squared off case on it so I can hang on to it a little bit better. Personal preference, everybody. Oh, where were we? Pass the remote. Go ahead.
Pass the remote. All right. So I got three things to talk about tonight. One, actually, they'll be pretty easy to talk about. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier finale. I know it's spoilers, so because it just finished up, so I won't break that for anybody. But I thought that was a fantastic show. I like Anthony Mackie. I like Sebastian Stan, and they both worked well together. There was a great story. Or a good story, and you can tell it's going to lead into something else because they didn't quite wrap up everything. So you know it's going to tie into a movie or something. But there were great character moments. I love seeing a little more depth of the characters rather than you're going to get in a 2-hour movie. So this is basically a 6-hour movie. It's a series. Learning a little bit more about these guys other than just how they punch and kick and all their moves. So I seriously loved it. I love the last episode where they wrapped everything up again. I want to talk about it a little more, but I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. So, highly recommend that one. Speaking of Anthony Mackie, I watched Synchronic, which is a film. I think it came out last year, but it's on Netflix. And Synchronic is on Netflix. Thank you, Chuck. It's about two paramedics, and they start to see some people are taking a drug, and the drug has some interesting side effects. Again, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, so I'm just going to tell you. But I thought this movie was a slow burn, and the payoff wasn't quite what I was looking for. So I didn't really super enjoy it.
Not on your must-watch list.
No, there were some interesting concepts in it, because it is more and more on the sci-fi tip, but no, I just didn't really care for it. Now, Mortal Kombat, which is on HBO Max.
Oh, I thought it was the one at the arcade. Let me change that.
No, this is Mortal Kombat, the new movie that just came out. It is on HBO Max until May 28th, excuse me. So let's put it this way. It is not an Oscar winner, but if you're a fan of the old game and the characters, you're going to enjoy it. I mean, it's just a... There's no super story there that you wouldn't already know for knowing those characters. But the fight scenes were great. I thought were pretty good. Great. Some of them were better than others. I enjoyed it all right, but wasn't an Oscar winner by any means. So there we go. There's my three of them. Falcon the Winter Soldier. I'd give that a solid 9.
Okay.
Synchronic, more like a 3.
Whoa, okay.
3, maybe a 4, 3 or 4. And Mortal Kombat, I'd give that more like a 6. Yeah, probably a 6 or 7. 6.5. There we go.
All right. It's interesting. Yep. I was talking with a coworker in Germany today, and he said, you know, when people fill out surveys that, how did he put this? These are his words, not mine. He said, the cranky old German. He said, if we give something an 8, that's like the best you can get. There are no tens. If we're rating things out of 10 and I give you an 8 and here in the US we go, oh man, if I don't get a 10, then something's terribly wrong. You know, I should be able to, even a 9 leaves room for improvement. Well, depending on the culture, you know, the best may not be 10. The best might be 8.
It's funny you bring that up because I never like giving out 10s. It's hard for me to, because I'm thinking it must be perfect, but what is perfect? I don't know. So
you have to be able to, that's the key, is you have to be able to define what would be the, I mean, if we're rating beers, would a 10 be, I'd buy it again. As if I saw it on the shelf, that would be my first grab. You have to define that. Otherwise, what's the point of the scoring system?
Yeah. So that's why I was like, Falcon Winter Soldier, I'm going to have to give it a 9 because there were some things that wasn't perfect, but I thought it hit all the right notes. Character moments were great. And the action was solid. So, yeah.
Without criteria, judging is useless. Huh? Okay. Without criteria, judging means nothing.
That's true. So I recommend it, though. I'll put it that way.
Put it, or we could put it in the way that the, whose line is it anyway? The points are made up and the, I can't remember what it is. Because I've got the derivative.
The points don't matter.
I've got the derivative made up that we use in our developer advocacy program, where the variables are made up and the names mean nothing or something.
Right. That's about right.
All right. We've got one more in the Geek Library. I think we've got time for this. Yes?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yes.
It's getting down to the end of the show. So let's get this quickly. Well, it turns out this latest week that there was a whole bunch of people that gathered in Nebraska to fight over the name Josh. A fight over the name Josh drew a crowd from around the country to Nebraska, to a park in Nebraska Saturday for a heated pool noodle brawl. It all started a year ago when pandemic boredom set in, as we all happen to do, when Josh Swain, a 22-year-old college student from Tucson, Arizona, messaged others who shared his name on social media and challenged them to a duel. Hundreds showed up at Air Park in Lincoln, Nebraska, a location chosen at random, of course, to participate in the silliness. The festivities started with a, quote, grueling and righteous battle of rock, paper, scissors. Right. Between the Josh Swain from Arizona and another Josh Swain from Omaha, reported by KLKN-TV, that the Arizona student won that competition, allowing him to claim the title of the true Josh Swain. The pool noodle competition that followed was open to anyone with the name, the first name, Josh. The victor of the competition was a 5-year-old who was coronated with a Burger King crown. Swain was the organizer, said he was a little surprised about how the whole thing blew up. Quote, I did not expect people to be adamant about this as they are right now. I sent a message off to one of my coworkers named Josh, and I said, were you there? Did you defend your title? Did you even try? I don't know. He's in Chicago, so he's a lot closer than the guy from Tucson, but that was pretty funny.
That is funny. And I put a follow-up link because I saw another article about it. More to do with the 5-year-old that won the contest. So you can go see some tweets and stuff with his picture on it.
I kicked all their asses.
Yeah. You know, I did this once and I challenged everybody that had the same name as me, Craig Stepp.
And you were the only one in the park. I win. Give me the crown. Doesn't work
that
way.
It's not fun when you win by default.
All the other people are laughing. Your parents named you what?
Yeah. Somebody showed up and went, hey.
No, somebody showed up and said, my name's Craig. How do you spell it? Out, you poser.
That's right. Get out of here.
All right. That's the way it goes for this week, April 20. What was this show for? The 8th? 28th?
28.
2021, which leaves us with our question of the week for you to ponder. And we will throw it out there on social media as well. Hope you answer it. What was the most overrated product you ever purchased?
Boy, where do I start?
Yeah, no kidding. I'm sure Donna can give me a whole bunch of them.
Well, I bought this koozie, and then I bought this really cool pen, and then I caught...
Was it those little whistling things you put on the front of your car to scare the deer away that don't really work?
I didn't buy one of those, but yes, I know what you're talking
about. I've been roped in by a number of things. The plastic credit card that was supposed to be the universal electronic credit card that never materialized.
Coin card?
Ouch. Coin. No, coin actually worked. And it I could program a couple of cards in there, but the successor to that one that had more of the e-paper front end that they were working on for years that never came to fruition. Ouch. Yeah, that was, if you go way, way back in our early marital history, there was an offer on TV for multiple CDs of 200 classical songs. Yeah, I like classical music as much as the next guy. And I thought, wow, there's some nice stuff in there. Tchaikovsky and Berlioz and Beethoven and Mozart. All these things you know. Oh, man, what a hack job that was. 200 songs on four CDs. It doesn't happen that way, kids. They had like the last 60 seconds of the William Tell Overture. Like, what?
What? Oh, yeah. They only have part of the songs? Yeah. Oh, you kidding me?
They were all chopped up. Just the parts you'd really recognize. It was almost like watching the commercial.
Like, right.
Oh, boo. I think that was like $20 down the drain.
Yeah. Gosh, what was that? Well, I got a plethora of smartwatches over here. I can start with those, I guess.
How many of them were overrated? You did say, what is the most overrated product? How much was hyped up? And when you got it, it was like, really?
Well, there were, you know, when you're talking about a smartwatch and then there's like less than $100, it's not going to be that smart. So what was that brand on that?
That's why when it comes to devices like that, I always read the reviews. You know,
go to
trusted sources like CNET and see what they say.
Oh, I'll research the crap out of, you know, reviews on stuff now. That's just one thing. I don't know. I have to really think about it. I honestly put the question up here, but I didn't really think much of what that I bought. But to be honest with you, I know there's plenty.
John Miller Jr. says the rodeo burger from Burger King. I don't even remember that. What was it? Sounds like
the one with
wallet.
The barbecue sauce. I think the one with the barbecue sauce.
Wallet and a bun. And putting barbecue sauce on a burger doesn't necessarily make it a great burger. It's like, we've got bacon and barbecue sauce. Like, no, that still doesn't work.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, I could probably think of some things of when I was a kid and go, oh, I really, really, really want that. And when you get it, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Toys or something you saved up for or something. Yeah.
I can't think of too many of those in my childhood, but I remember there were a few Christmas presents I was disappointed in.
Oh.
Because it was like the off-brand version of something you really, really wanted. You know, because we had a family of nine. My parents weren't just like rolling in cash. So, you know, instead of getting the official like Coleco electronic football, you got the, you know, Whamco version.
Right.
That was like four LEDs. And like, how is that a football game?
It's like getting your kid, instead of Barney the dinosaur, you get him like the, you know, Blarney. You know, it's like almost purple.
It's not purple. It's more of a fuchsia.
Yeah. That's right. Scott Tyler said electric vibration football. Yeah.
Oh, I think that you're right. There was just, also, and they just kind of shake around and like people fall down. Oh, going, is
John
that
Miller Jr. said, I was right. It was a cheeseburger with onion rings on it and barbecue sauce.
You'd spend hours setting up those electronic football plays, turn on the shaker table, and everybody just falls down. It's like, why is the quarterback running around in circles backwards?
He looks like one of the Three Stooges.
The curly shuffle.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we already did that.
I'm sure I got a whole list of stuff over here.
Now you got me thinking. I'm not sure if I sang the Curly Shuffle on Saturday Night Karaoke or not.
Were you supposed to?
Not necessarily. Donna doesn't like that song, which is why I'm going to sing it.
Oh, you can put it on your list for your marathon.
When she's not at home. It's not, the marathon is dictated by the people who are watching. I want you to like Reddit the crap out of these things and get people to upvote the craziest songs. Okay. You go into the chat on the Zoom webinar. You're like, everybody vote for the Curly Shuffle or,
yeah,
you know, pick something that you don't think that will work. I'll make it work.
I love the Three Stooges. So Donna didn't like the Three Stooges.
Yeah. No, she didn't like the song, the Curly Shuffle.
Oh, I wouldn't say it's.
It's a classic from the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right.
Did you hear me do Shut Up a You Face by Joe Dolce?
I couldn't watch your show this week.
It was last week. That answers that question.
I missed it. I was out because I was celebrating our 20th anniversary. So.
Oh, man. I'm still looking for You Can't Roller Skate in a Buffalo Herd, but that's another story. All right. We got our question out there. We are at the top of the hour, so we're going to cut it here. It is backup day. That's what I'm going to be talking about on our Patreon show. We'll see where that topic takes us. And if you want to get in touch with us, meanwhile, the Patreon title's up there. I'm really good at putting the titles up. I'm just not good at taking them down. So get in touch with us. 707-530-2428 is the way you can contact us. 707-530-CHAT. If you need a mnemonic, we worked hard to get that number. Send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. If you want to do like Steve from London. I mean, Steve, I do that again. Steve, Steve London from Sweden.
Yeah.
You can see why.
Right.
It's L-U-N-D-I-N, but it's pronounced London. Or maybe it's a little different if you put the Swedish accent on there. So, technorama@chuckchat.com. He just emailed us a MP3, MP4, M4A, whatever it was. Go to chuckchat.com/technorama. You can find all this stuff on the website, how to get in contact with us, how to subscribe to the podcast, get it regularly delivered, all that good stuff. Thank you for watching on Facebook and YouTube. And until next time, Craig, do us the honors of the binary high five.
All right. Brace yourself. 101. There you go.
Well done.